Welcome to Covenant Life Ministries, and this time together it's our purpose to help you understand God's covenants, help you understand your position and place and privilege and authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire is to help you become a more powerful witness for His kingdom and enhanced in your ability to pray and more knowledgeable in the things of Almighty God. So I'm Roy Beard, the founder and president of Covenant Life Ministries. Thank you for joining us. It's good to have you with us again, and I'm happy to be with you. And I want to talk about something tonight, and I hope I can finish it, because I want to talk about harnessing your harvest. I'm absolutely convinced that there's not one person among us, not one person under the sound of my voice, that doesn't need or want or desire a harvest in some area of their life. It doesn't make any difference if that's finances, if it's in the matter of faith, family, future, whatever it is. There's some questions that arise as why, where, when concerning the harvest, and I believe there's some biblical directives that give us clear understanding as to what those are all about and how we proceed. But if we're honest, and I believe we are, all of us have some area or areas in our lives where the outcome or the result or the harvest is a major factor, both in the present and for the future. And that covers all areas. In fact, let me say this. Seeds have already been planted. You have already planted seed. And there is a harvest coming. Now, it may not be the harvest you want, but there is a harvest coming. So that's what we have to deal with. We have a tremendous need. I believe it's vital that we understand the harvest. If we don't understand the harvest and how the harvest is produced and what goes on in the producing of the harvest, then we're going to continue to reap harvest that we really don't want. But in the natural, there are laws that operate in every principle of life. So it stands to reason that there must be some laws with regard to the harvest that are vital and valuable for you and me as believers in Jesus Christ and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. See, the laws of harvest are universal. The laws of harvest affect both the believer and the unbeliever alike. But the believer has greater promises and a greater hope. We're heirs of God. The wealth of the wicked is being laid up for the righteous. God is planning, and He plans for our good. So I want us to look at the law of harvest, and as we do, we'll consider some principles that are absolutely vital within that law. And I'll mention them briefly and expound on them more fully at some other time. But right now, I need to give you some information and hope that it will be inspiration to cause you to have application of those principles and that you can change the harvest or produce the harvest that's needed in your life. Number one, the seed must be sown before you can have a harvest. In John 12:24, Jesus said, except a grain of wheat falls into the ground, it abides alone. The seed, whether it's an act, a deed, money, it doesn't matter what it is, has to be placed or planted or sown in the ground before there can ever be the hope of a harvest. If there's no sowing, there's no reaping. So you have to sow the seed before you can have a harvest. Number two, that seed that is sown has to be rendered useless to you. John 12:24, reading that and expounding on it, except a grain of wheat falls into the ground and die, that's the part I left out before, it abides alone. So the seed, whether it's an act, a deed, money, no matter what it is, has to enter into a state of uselessness to the planter that you can't use it, you can't eat the seed, you can't use it for your own personal benefit. It has to die. And when it does, the process of multiplication can begin because it leaves your control and becomes a part of the law of harvest. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the scripture says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in God's house. Now, he didn't say a portion. It's not just when you show up. This is not a restaurant. You don't just tip when you get here. If we use the tithe, if we use the offering, if we use the gift to meet our personal need, then we're not letting it fall into the ground and die. It has to be sown. It has to become useless to you. It can't abide alone if you don't let it die, and therefore it can't produce the harvest because it's already cursed. 3, the seed that is sown determines the type of harvest. In Genesis 1:12, he said that every herb-yielding seed produced after his kind. What you plant determines what you'll harvest. What you sow is what you reap. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. You're going to reap in kind. Now, number 4, this is a very, very, very important key that too many people miss. The size of the harvest is determined at the time of sowing, the time of planting. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 tells us that if a farmer plants a few seeds, he'll only get a small crop. But if he plants much, if he plants many seeds, then his harvest will be greater. You can't wait until the day of harvest. You can't wait until the time of the need to determine what size of harvest you're going to have. That decision has to be made at the time of planting. When you sow that seed in faith, that's when you determine what size of harvest you're going to have. You may even not even know what you're planting for and why you're planting and why you're doing that. But you have to determine then. So it would appear to me that abundance is always preferable to shortage. And so let that be the rule in your sowing. Psalms 35:27 said, "Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." God wants to bless you. Now, you have to have your eyes, spiritual eyes, to see the harvest. You have to learn how to identify God's increase. It comes in many forms. You know, you may have tires that last longer on your vehicle. You may have lower utility bills. You may get better gas mileage in your car. Prayer warriors may come out of the blue and pray for you, and there may be many, 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 many things that are God's increase. So you have to recognize, but when the size of the harvest is determined at the time of the sowing. And number 5, the seed has to be sown into good soil. Now that's a very important key. Matthew 13 and 8 said, "Other seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. If only good ground produces the agricultural harvest in the natural, then only good ground produces the spiritual harvest and the spiritual development. See, Mark 10:29 said, "There is no man that has left house or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this life, houses and land." Luke 6:38, one of my favorite passages and something the Lord absolutely opened it up to me a few years ago, and it revolutionized my understanding in life. The Bible says, "Give and it, two-letter word, it, shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom." Good soil honors Christ. Good soil produces. And whatever you sow into that good soil is what you're going to reap out of that good soil. Number 6, the harvest is always, always after the sowing. Mark 4:26 says, "A man cast a seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow." The only instant harvest is by planting a big smile, and you usually get one back, and that others take a lot of time, and some more time than others. Ecclesiastes 11:1 said, "Cast your bread on the waters, for you shall find it after many days." Matthew 7:12 said, "All things whatsoever you should that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Patience is an absolute requirement, and that's a commodity that most of us have a shortage of. Impatience will cancel out your harvest because you can't go dig it up. You can't dig it up and look at the seed and see what's happening to it and see what's going on. You have to leave it alone. You plant it and you leave it alone. Galatians 6:9 said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." So remember, the harvest is always after the sowing. Number 7, the crop has to be cared for in order to have a full harvest. Matthew 13:7 said, "And the thorn sprung up and choked them." You can't leave the seed unprotected against the ravages of a hostile environment, the bugs, the wind, the drought, the devil. Matthew 6:33 said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You see, you have to place God and his kingdom first in your life, and you love the lost, you discern deception, you refuse to doubt, and you continue to soak and water that seed that you planted with prayer, with love, with the mercy of God. Number 8, sowing is always to the harvest size, not from the harvest size. Genesis 26:12 said, "Isaac sowed in that land." There was famine going on. He planned to go to Egypt and do it the world's way, but instead God told him, and he stayed in the land. And the Bible said he received 100-fold. You always sow to your desired harvest. So you can least afford it, you plant the most. You always plant for the next time. You plant for the future. You don't plant for the right now. You see, farmers understand that in agriculture. But most of us spiritually miss it in the area of finance and virtually everything else. We sow from our financial harvest rather than to them. We sow out of our abundance rather than out of our need, out of our lack. You see, and we do that because we fear insufficiency. In 1 Kings 17:9, Elijah, the Lord said, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you." Oh, wow. Thanks, God. You're sending me to a woman that doesn't have anything. But 1 Kings 17:12 said, "And she said, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we can eat it and die." God sent him to somebody that didn't have anything. So God said he's going to sustain you. Sustain me? Lord, what are you talking about? This woman doesn't have anything. She said, I can't. But whatever God commands, he provides. And obedience brought blessing. Rebellion would have meant death. But she obeyed, and because she obeyed, the oil didn't run out, and the meal didn't run out, and she had enough not only to take care of her and her son, but to take care of the prophet. So you sow to the harvest, not from the harvest. Number 9, expenses are always greatest at harvest time. Oh, this is going to get good. Matthew 20:1 said, "A man is a householder, that is a householder, went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." Money is important because by giving, you give your life.
You give more. It reveals that you're not bound by money, and it expresses faith. When your harvest is ripe, there's an unction in your spirit saying, it's time to harvest. And see, some have tithed and given, but nearly fully reaped their harvest because they didn't release laborers into the harvest, and thereby the harvest was never gathered in. See, at harvest time, that's the time to give in a larger measure. In the natural, you have to have laborers, you have to have combines, you have to have tractors, you have to have equipment. It's expensive. And in the spiritual, let the laborers loose on your field. Now, that just may be the key that some of you have been looking for. And number 10, a portion of every harvest is to be set aside for future sowing. 2 Chronicles 9 and 10 said, for God who gives seed to the farmer to plant and later on good crops to harvest and eat will give you more and more and more seed to plant. You never want a one-time harvest. Years ago, in the Mojave Desert, there was a small oasis. It was located midway across the most treacherous part of that desert. And at that point, everybody needed water. Now, in the middle of that oasis was a well with an old-fashioned pump. And in order to make the pump operate, its handle had to be vigorously moved up and down until a stream of water would pour forth. On the pump handle, there was a pint of water, a pint bottle sealed tightly with a cork, and inside the bottle was the water needed to prime the pump. And tragically, there were people found dead because somebody drank the pint of water rather than pour it down the well shaft because they didn't have faith that it would work. See, there was faith for a one-time harvest, but not for a continual harvest, and they harmed everybody that followed. Number 11, a portion of every harvest is for your own personal benefit, eating. 1 Corinthians 9, 7 said, whoever planteth a vineyard and eateth not thereof. You eat the fruit of your own labor. You pay yourself. You reward yourself. And number 12, every harvest is a miracle. 1 Corinthians 3, 6, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, it doesn't matter if it's seed, literally for farming, if it's money, if it's divine defense, whatever it is, if it's healing, it's all the same principle. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 said, remember this, if you give little, you'll get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will only get a small crop, but if he plants much, he'll reap much. So the amount of seed that is planted directly affects the size of harvest. The law of multiplication in farming is never questioned by the farmer. So why do we question it in other areas of faith or even in finance? God has always used natural laws that are easily understood, easily seen, easily grasped in order to convey spiritual truth. If you plant seed, it will produce a plant which produces fruit, and the fruit of that plant always is in multiples of the seed. You plant corn, you get a stalk of corn, a grain of kernel of corn, and you get a stalk of corn with 3 to 5 ears on it with 100 or up to 1,000 kernels on that corn stalk. And 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 said, God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Now, how many of you would like to have enough to take care of all of your need and even some of your wants and be able to give to others and give to ministries and reach out to other people? Every one of us would. So is it wrong for the farmer to plant, to give his seed to the ground, expecting to get a substantial return on his gift to receive? No, it's not. then why do we get hung up in the church and somehow think that it's wrong with respect to money, love, comfort, and everything else, that if we give, we're expecting to receive? See, the world teaches that we care for number one. You save, you keep, you hoard, and in so doing, you'll at least preserve your own life, your own yourself. But the Bible teaches that we give, we love, we bless, we lose life, and thereby we live and we prosper. See, faith is an indispensable element. One of the reasons that we tithe and we give and that we haven't been prospering from it is that we didn't expect to. I say the proverbial we. Therefore, if you don't care for the crop nor follow through on the harvest, you fail to release the laborers, then you won't reap the full benefit of the harvest. In Matthew 13 and 8, said the seeds fell into the ground and brought forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. If you sow $100, you'll reap many more $100, 30, 60, 100-fold. That's substantial. But it also affects love and concern and faith and welfare and everything else in life. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 said, God is able to make it up to you. When you give to God, God personally takes responsibility for making it up to you. It's always what you've sown plus. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, you have to notice that with each planting of seed, you're promised everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Verse 9 says, it's as the scripture says, the godly man gives generously. His good deeds will be an honor to him forever. Now, unless somebody says, wait a minute, Roy, you just don't know my situation. I'm overextended financially. I'm tapped out spiritually. I'm spent emotionally. I'm almost destitute physically and so stressed out that I'm no good to anybody. I don't have anything to give. Well, 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 said, God gives seed to the farmer to plant, and later on crops to harvest and eat. Will give you more and more seed to plant, and you'll make it grow, and he will make it grow so that you can give away more and more and more fruit from your harvest. So God, when you say that I don't have anything to give, you're saying God is incapable of providing and his promises are not true. That is wrong. You do have something to give. If you eat your seed, then you need to repent of misappropriating what God has provided and for agreeing with the devil rather than God. Now, this may challenge somebody's idea of finances, and you may say, well, that's not the way the high-tech modern bankers do it. Let me ask you, aren't many of those high-tech modern banks failing and going out of business? They have in the past few years, but not God. God's not going out of business. Isaiah 55 and 8, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You see, I don't have to understand the law of gravity to have it affect my body. If I step off the edge of a cliff, I'm going to fall. I won't float off the planet due to my ignorance. You know, try stepping off a building and see what happens. And Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you read verses 27 through 38 of Luke 6, then you realize it's love, it's bless, it's give, it's mercy, it's compassion, it's money, it's everything. So the type of harvest is determined by the type of seed. The size of the harvest is determined by the amount of seed. The fullness is determined by the caring for the crop. You reap what you sow, you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. So here's what we need to do.
We need to repent of misappropriating seed in the past or in the present and not do it in the future. We need to determine to eat the seed designed for eating and sow the seed designed for sowing. We need to begin a lifestyle of sowing for a desired lifestyle of living and giving. We need to begin a campaign of good stewardship, caring for the harvest, and releasing the laborers into the harvest. John 8:32 said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, what you know is what you become one with, and you practice, and that makes you free. I'm not trying to manipulate you, but I'm trying to give you an opportunity and a way to understand how to harvest your harvest. Don't withhold your tithe. Don't withhold your offering. And release the laborers. It's more expensive at harvest time. And the size of your harvest is determined by your sowing. So financially, giving is the key. If you need understanding, giving is the key. If you need compassion, giving is the key. If you need encouragement, giving is the key. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. This is in all areas of your life. So what's the lifestyle you want to live? Sow to the harvest. Do you want to be able to give to every good cause God sets before you? Do you want to be able to care for your own and meet the needs of your family? I'm not talking about lavishing things on yourself, but I'm talking about having a very good, comfortable living and then being able to take care and minister to other people, to needs that God puts on your heart, to advance the cause of the kingdom of God. Do you want that? Well, you give what you sow, you reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow. It's what you sow is what you reap. You don't eat your seed. You don't do like the little widow was tempted to do with Elijah. And say, I'm going to make just this, use what I've got, and then I'm going to sit back and die. No, no, no. You trust the promises of God. You trust the promises of God. If you'll trust the promises of God, God said, "My word does not fail. It won't return to me void." If God said it, He'll do it. If God promised it, it will happen. You can count on that. You can take it to the bank. You can stand on it. It doesn't matter what you think about it. If God, you do what God says, God will do what He promised to do. So I want to, right now, I want us to pray, and I want you to think about the need you have in your life right now. And realize that it's too late to sow a seed for that harvest. You're going to have to work through that one with God's help. But in order to avoid that kind of situation in the future, then you need to start planting seeds, start planting love, start planting compassion, start planting money, start planting gifts, start planting love, start planting the kind of life you want to live in others. And God will honor His word. Father, I come to You right now in the precious and marvelous name of Jesus. And I ask that You touch everybody under the sound of my voice with Your Spirit and Your power. And You help them to know that You never lie, but that You tell the truth. And if You promised it, You'll make it good. If You said it, that's the way it is. And they can trust Your law of harvest in this life and everything they do. I ask that in Jesus' name. So, folks, right now, make up your mind right here at this Christmas season that you are going to sow the kind of harvest you want. Or like next Christmas, sow the harvest, sow the seed. If you'll do that, God's word will never fail. Whatever He said is what He will do. You can count on it. I promise you that in Jesus' name. God bless you.
See you again next time.
Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you. Be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Go with God, and He will go with you.